There be four things which are little upon the earth, for they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The coonies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in the king's palaces. Amen. We pray indeed God would bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Just going to knit our hearts together and pray for God's blessing here around his word. Our loving eternal Father in heaven, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the message of the scriptures, for the great love of God to us that's found in the person of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray now that will be with us around thy word, and the word will go forth with power, even to the hearts of people who remain at homes at this particular time, and will bring forth, Lord, even fruit unto life everlasting. Be with us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The text is found there in verse 26. The coonies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. We think of the title here for sermon, really, we have the theme of hiding in the rocks. When you come to the Bible, you find in the life and ministry of others, and of course the Lord Jesus Christ, there were times that took items and things to teach us gospel lessons. In Matthew chapter 18, you find the Lord Jesus Christ to teach about the way of salvation and humility. He sets a little child before the people, and he says to them, "Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." So he takes a little child to teach us lessons about being saved and entering into God's kingdom. Then we find over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, that the Lord Jesus, he took coins, in a sense, in the parable of the 10 coins. One of the coins was lost, it was sought for, and it was found. But the Lord Jesus was taking these items, these things, to show us the way of salvation and how we can be saved. And then we find over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, he took the commandments. A young man came running to him. He says, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord Jesus Christ quoted the second half of the commandments to this young man, not to show him how to be saved, but to show him that he must be saved. We're never saved by the law of God or the commandments. And so the Lord Jesus took these items to show people the way of salvation. So when we come to the Old Testament, here in this particular chapter, we find Solomon, the preacher, and he's preaching, and he's showing us here little items, little things, to show us the way of salvation. He talks about the ants, he talks about the locusts, he talks about the spider. Well, he talks here about a little animal called the coonie. Now, if you look in your margin, it'll tell you in your Bible, it was a badger or a rabbit, and some people hold that opinion. Well, if you read the likes of Dr. John Gill, the great commentator who had a tremendous knowledge of Palestine and the Holy Land, he actually has a view that this little coonie is a mountain mouse, or was known as a bear mouse. Even if you go to read Matthew Henry himself, he quotes from another source, and he says that these are Arabian mice. Now, there are different views about exactly what the coonie is. Nevertheless, in this passage and in the Bible, we find lessons about the coonie. We find here in verse 26, it tells us the coonies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. And there's a couple of simple lessons here that we want to find about the coonies. First of all, it tells us about the character of the coonies. And straight away we're told about their weakness. It says the coonies are but a feeble folk. Now remember, God is telling us here the character of the coonies. He does not say that they are strong like a lion or a bear. He does not tell us that they are mighty, that they are powerful. Not one bit of it. It says the coonies are a feeble folk. Immediately we're told about their weakness. They are feeble. And you can see even in the context where we find these coonies that this shows about their feebleness and their weakness. Because it tells us in verse 26, the ants are, or verse 25, the ants are people not strong. The ant is not strong. Verse 27 talks about the locusts. In verse 29 or 28, the spider. And so here in the midst of these weak creatures, we find the cuny. The cuny, the Bible says, is a feeble folk. And notice here, it says the cunies are. It was just not that some of them were feeble or half of them were feeble. No, no. The Bible is very clear in this fact. It's telling us that all the cunies, these little creatures, they are weak and they are feeble. And that shows us some lessons here. They were defenseless creatures. They would be unable to stand against their enemies. The smallest other animal could come against them and take away their life. They would easily be destroyed. And I find it amazing that the God of heaven, he would take this little animal, this little cuny, to teach us lessons about ourselves. The cuny are a feeble folk. Talks about their weakness. And dear friends, we think about ourselves. The Bible asks the question in Psalm 8 and verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? What a great question. What is man? Well, people would answer that question differently. Some would say that man is wonderful, he's mighty, he's powerful. But not so when we come to the Bible. The Bible describes mankind. And listen, the Bible describes all mankind as weak creatures. There's a weakness about us. You think of the words in Romans 5 and verse 6, for when we were yet, listen to the words, without strength, no power, listen, weak, feeble. Remember, the cunies are a feeble folk. Here it tells us mankind without strength. He has no power, he has no ability. He is weak, he is feeble. He cannot save himself. He is a feeble folk. This coronavirus is sweeping over the world and sweeping over our land. It showed every one of us that we're powerless, that we're weak, that we're feeble. We can do nothing. We can do nothing to stop it. Now we can make prevention. We can hide from it. But it shows us how weak we really are. Well, a little thing like this can put us all down and close us off in our homes. The Bible describes man, he's without strength. He's a weak creature. And you can find this, of course, in his deeds. What do we look at when we see in the life of the unsaved person? He cannot resist temptation. He runs after sin. In fact, we know that the devil and sin has tied him up in knots. He has no power, he has no ability to break free. He's tied up in his sin. He's a slave of sin. In Job 15 and verse 16, he says these words, how much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity. Listen, like water, he runs after sin. He loves sin. He's powerless. He's a weak creature. Maybe there's some today listening in your home. And sin has a hold of your life and your heart. And you've tried. You've tried to break free. You've promised to break free. Oh, dear friends, you're a weak creature. It's holding you. They can see in man's deeds. They can see it, of course, in his decay. The psalmist David said in Psalm 39 and the verse 4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is. And he said these words, that I may know how frail I am. Notice the words, how frail I am. And David looked at himself. And David says, I'm a frail creature. In verse 5, he said the remarkable words, verily every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Notice what he said, at his best estate. He's at his strongest. He's at his best in the looks department. And yet he's saying here, he's nothing, nothing. At his very best, he's vanity. You see, he's a weak creature. And what is true of David? It's true of all men and women. We're decaying. We're getting older, every one of us. Because we are a weak creature. And then even think of this in relation to death. Because we know, of course, sin brings forth death. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8 and the verse 8, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. Notice those words. Man is going to die, he tells us here. But he has no power. He has no power in the day of his death. He cannot stop it. He cannot prevent it. He may have the best doctors, the best nurses, the best surgeons all around him. But when he comes to this day that he must die to his weakness. Dear friends, we're a weak creature. And I want to say to everyone today, we're going to die. We're going to die sometime. We do not know the day. The Bible says, it's appointed on the man wants to die. We know not when the day may bring forth. We're weak creatures. We're sinners. We have all sinned against the Lord. And we have failed them. And we're brought here with this cooney about their weakness. They're a feeble folk. And I say, I'm a feeble person. And so are you who's listened to the gospel today in your home. Sin has destroyed us. It has wickedness. And dear friends, our weakness. Well, think also about their uncleanness. Now, when you turn over to Leviticus chapter 11, it tells us here about a list of animals which were to be eaten and some which were not to be eaten. You can find that in Leviticus chapter 11, the word of the Lord coming on to Moses. And God has given different ones to Moses which were not to be eaten. They're in, really, in a sense, the unclean department. And you have the camel and the hare and the swine as mentioned there in Leviticus 11, verse 1 to 5. But in the verse 5, notice says, on the cooney. On the cooney. And I want you to notice this. This little creature that we're looking at here today in Proverbs chapter 30, when God is looking at the animals, where does he put the cooney? This little animal, he puts it in the unclean department. He's given out the law. And he's saying, here are animals that you are not to eat because they are unclean. And we find here the cooney, they are an unclean animal. They're uncleanness. And remember this, that the cooney has been placed in the unclean department here by God. They are unclean. And there's a great lesson for us. I asked you, what department would you put yourself in? I know people today say, well, I'm in this department. I'm in that department. And we put ourselves way up the ladder, but not so with God. Not so with God. When God looks at humanity, just like the cooney here, where does he put us? Every one of us. Every one of us in the world, no matter where you're from, no matter about your background, where does God put you? In the unclean department. Why is that? It's because we have sinned against the Lord. That's why. Hey, think of the verses. It says in Psalm 14 and the verse 3, speaking of mankind, they're all gone aside. They're all together. Notice the words, become filthy. Become filthy. And when you read the Bible, it tells you that sin has done something to all of mankind. They have become filthy. They are unclean. They are defiled in the sight of God. We read, of course, in the Bible that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I want you to notice this today. This is what sin has done to all of us. Every one of us has sinned against the Lord. And it has made us unclean. Now notice, in the sight of God, you might look at your life and say, but I'm not unclean. I am not filthy. I am not a sinner. But dear friends, I want you to see what God says about all of us. They're all together, the Bible says, become filthy. That's all of us. And that's you today who listen to this sermon. Without Jesus Christ, I want you to see what sin has done to you. It has made you unclean in the sight of a holy and a great God. And so we find this simple, simple lesson, the first lesson about the coonies and their character. They are a weak creature. They are feeble folk. And we see that, of course, in their weakness and their uncleanness. Now, that's the same with all of us. We have sinned against the Lord. We have failed them. And you're in your sin today, unsaved. Listen to the message. Remember, this is how God sees your heart, your life, and you before him. But then we notice secondly here about the coonies and their construction. Because he goes on to say, the Coonies are but a feeble folk. And yet what he says, yet make they their houses in the rocks. He goes on to tell us here about something the Coonies do. This weak creature, listen, feeble folk, unclean. It tells us what they do. They make their dwellings, or they make their houses in the rocks. In other words, they hide in the rocks. What do you think here, first of all, about their wisdom? They had a knowledge instinct within their heart and mind. They were in danger. They needed a place of safety. Somewhere they could hide, somewhere where they could be safe. And so their wisdom, they realized they've got to get to the rocks. We've got to get to the mountains. If we could only get into these little burrows, little holes, we will be safe. And so we find here their wisdom in this. They see a place of escape, a place where they can be safe. One saved today, listening to the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see the danger that you're in? Do you see that you're under the wrath of God? The Bible is very clear in this. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, and in verse 36, about those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abideth on them. Notice the words, the wrath of God, God's judgment, God's wrath. It's just abiding upon the head of the ungodly today. Lost without Jesus Christ. Do you see this today as your position before God? That you're lost. That you're under the wrath of God. Do you see that you need a Savior? Do you look around and say, where can I be safe? Who can save me? Where can I escape the wrath of God to come? Do you see that Jesus Christ is a Savior? Do you see that He's the only Savior? He's the rock of salvation. The Bible tells us in Psalm 62 and verse 2, speaking of the Lord, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. And notice the words David said, He only. There's no other one. He only is my rock. He is my Savior. There's no one else but the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see this? He's a smitten rock. Remember Isaiah 53 and verse 5 says, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. You see, Lord Jesus Christ, He's a smitten rock. He died in our place. He suffered upon the cross. He shed His blood to save us. He was smitten. Friends, He's a strong rock. He's mighty to save. He can save the very uttermost. He's a spacious rock. In other words, He's a great Savior. There's plenty of room to come to Jesus Christ. The Coonies saw the only hope was in the rock. Oh, unsaved today. Are you like the Coonie? Do you see? Do you know your only hope for salvation is in the rock of ages? Do you see this? The Coonie saw it. There he is. He looks. He sees the mountain. He sees the rocks. And dear friends, he realized that's his only hope. And you see that today, that Jesus Christ, He's a Savior. Maybe, I no doubt there are people listening today and say, well, I know the way of salvation. I know He saves and His blood washes whiter than the snow, yet you've never made the Lord Jesus your own personal Savior. Think about their works. It says they made their houses in the rocks. The Coonie, let me say, could not dig into the rock. They couldn't bore into it. I want you to notice this very simple lesson. The holes of the caves, our caves were already there. The holes are already in the rocks, in the mountains. They had nothing to do. The only thing the little Coonie had to do was to enter in and to make for themselves this place, their resting place. This was their works. All they had to do was to run into the holes, run into the rocks and hide themselves. And dear friends, I think here of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or people came to the Lord Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 28. And they said unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What shall we do? How are we going to get to heaven? How are we going to give everlasting life? And the Lord Jesus said these words, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom he has sent. Now notice this. How can I be saved? How can I get forgiveness? The Lord Jesus says, you are to believe on him. We are to trust him. And I say to you here today, all the work for our salvation has been completed. Jesus paid it all. And he cried from the cross, it is finished. And the only thing that we have to do is to come to Jesus Christ, is to repent from our sin and flee to him and say, Lord, I want you to save me. I want you to give me everlasting life. Remember the great words the Lord Jesus said in John 10 and verse 9. I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Notice those very simple words, my friend. I am a door, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And all you've got to do is to come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus. And enter in. Run to him. Trust him. We sing that great hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And the wonderful words, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And to be saved, we are to run to the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, we are to come to him just the way we are. We are to hide ourselves in the rock. The rock of ages, the Lord Jesus. We are to come to him. We find here the little Cooney is teaching you and I lessons. Running to the rocks, hiding in the rocks. I know at this very day, God is dealing with your heart. And he's calling you onto himself. Exhorting you to leave your sin, to repent from your sin, and to come to Jesus Christ and trust him with all of your heart. Dear friends, this is the message of the gospel, and the message that can save your soul. Think about the well-being of the Cooney. When they were hiding in the rock, they were safe. They had their safety. They were safe in that place. No one could reach them. It didn't matter, they could run up to the hole, but couldn't touch them. And dear friends, this is the wonderful truth of the gospel. When we hide ourselves in Christ, when we cast ourselves onto the Lord Jesus Christ, everything we need is found in him. Everything. Think of what you need today, all unsaved person in this meeting. You need your sins cleansed, washed away. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus will wash away all your sins. You need forgiveness of sins. Where can you find forgiveness of sins? Only in the rock of ages. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You need righteousness to get into heaven. Where can you get this robe of righteousness whereby you will be accepted with God? Only in Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And when we come to him, God cleanses us from sin. He forgives our sin. He covers our sin in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He covers us. Oh, dear friends, listen. There's everlasting life in the Lord Jesus. There's a tremendous verse. It's over in 1 John 5, verse 11. And this is a record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life, listen, it's in his son. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life is in the Lord Jesus and him alone. You need to run to him. You need to come to him and trust him with all of your heart. And then there's security in the Lord Jesus. Because it says in Romans 8 verse 1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation to those who are in, to them who's in Jesus Christ. And so there is security in the Lord Jesus. You need somebody to save you. You need someone to take away your sin. You need someone to give you everlasting life. You need someone to give you security in this world. And I say to you today, there's only one person to do that. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to flee. You need to run to the rock of ages. Like the Coonies. The Coonies are but a feeble folk. yet make they their houses in the rocks. They run and they hide themselves in the rocks. And you need to run to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him. I asked you in closing, where are you hiding? Where are you hiding? You say, well, I hide in this church. I come to church services and so on. Our creeds, our works, or a family. But dear friends, you need to hide in the rock of ages. That hymn says, O safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine eye would it be, thy blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Are you hiding in Christ? You say no, well listen, run to Him. Repent of your sin today and trust Him. And He will save you and give you everlasting life. Be like the Cooney and trust Christ. May God write His word upon our hearts. Let's just close with a big word of prayer. Father in heaven, write your word upon hearts, I pray. And we pray that for those who have heard the gospel in their own homes, that they might be saved, Lord, and trust you. Be like the Cooney and hide themselves in the rock.